Let's get out to the Band of Brothers hotline. Stop talking football. Let's talk some BYU basketball because we have Daniel O'Brien from Bleacher Report. He's an NBA draft specialist. You can follow him on Twitter at DanielO_BR. Daniel, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks for joining us. We want to get your opinions and insight on this NBA draft, in particular some of these BYU basketball players. BYU basketball has not been a boon, a place, a reservoir of NBA talent where it's developed, but there has been some great players coming out of BYU the last few years. Jimmer Fredette was drafted. Brandon Davies tore up at the Portsmouth Invitational, was the MVP, ended up having a nice little NBA career. He's now overseas. But how is BYU viewed in the NBA world and in the talent that they produce right now?
Well, like you said, not a ton of talent coming out every year. They don't churn out a ton of talent. But what I like about them is that they play the up-tempo system. They like to push the ball, and they work really quickly to find good shots, good high-percentage shots. And that's something that I think translates well for their players.
Yeah, I mean, talk to me more about that. BYU in this last NCAA tournament in a play-in game versus Ole Miss, 94-90. They end up losing, no defense whatsoever. But, I mean, it looked like an NBA game. It really did. There was dunks galore. There were alley-oops. There was three-point shots from everywhere, high scoring. And, I have to imagine that some of the NBA scouts in the stands, those that were watching, were excited to watch that type of play. And that should ultimately, I think, translate over into the NBA game.
Absolutely. I think you hear a lot of talk recently, Mark Cuban, some people making comments about the college game being, a little bit too slow, a little bit too almost, more boring than the NBA style of play. And that's the exact opposite of what, you see from BYU, just up and down, guys making plays in the open floor. It's good team basketball, but guys are also making plays in space. And you're able to see what a guy like Tyler Hawes is able to do when he works to get an open shot, or what Collinsworth is able to do with some of his creativity and size. So I think it's definitely a plus for scouts that are there watching some of the BYU players.
And you said you really liked the fact that the BYU guys are in a system, an up-tempo system that would translate well to the next level. When it comes to scouts evaluating these players at this level, is it solely on the system? Can guys get away with getting drafted based off of the system and the numbers that they put up, or is it solely based off of their talent, what they can do one-on-one?
Oh, I think scouts and especially executives, they take the whole picture into account. So if they do their homework enough, they can realize that a guy who maybe was recruited into the wrong college program, a program that wasn't a great fit for him, and they see the individual talent, the ability to create shots, or just good vision, good instincts, they know that that'll translate. And likewise, they know not to overvalue a guy, overvalue someone like Tyler Hawes just because he does great in an NBA system, because the athletes, the size, and everything at the NBA is different. So for a guy like Tyler Hawes, they're going to want to see in pre-draft workouts the ability for him to create separation off the dribble a little more, be able to score over NBA-caliber athletes, because the NBA is a different beast. It's these guys are 7-footers, 6'10 guys who run like deer, so you need to be able to do more than just hit shots if you want big minutes.
April 26th is the deadline to declare for the draft. People are getting evaluated right now. They're getting letters sent back to them, to their agents. And a couple of guys in particular that BYU fans have an interest in outside of BYU players are Kyle Wilcher and Karnowski from Gonzaga. Are you hearing anything about these two young men, whether they're going to come back or whether they're going to declare?
I haven't heard much myself. I've been hearing that it's a good thing for Wilcher to probably stay. I think he can, if he can prove that he can play defense, play in space, maybe enhance his stock a little more in that respect, it might be good for him. Because right now he's pretty much all offense, and the defense is a little bit questionable at this point. But you have to love his ability to make shots from anywhere on the floor. He's going to be a matchup problem for a lot of defenses, and Karnowski, his size and his clutch around the rim. You don't see someone with his just mountainous size with soft clutch. But I think I don't think that he would be a high draft pick. Maybe if it was 15, 20 years ago, a guy like Karnowski would be like a first-round lock, I think. But the game's different today. It's more based on speed, more based on sleek, small-ball lineups. So, therefore, he's probably a second-rounder.
We got Daniel O'Brien, NBA draft specialist, on with us here, Cougar Sports ESPN 960. Daniel, let's talk about how scouts view the Portsmouth Invitational. It used to be a huge deal. Now you have the Chicago Combine, which is probably the most important. How do scouts and the NBA in general view the Portsmouth Invitational, and how serious do they take it?
Well, they take it seriously in the sense that every roster spot on an NBA roster is important. You know, the back end of the rotation can be crucial sometimes because all it takes is an injury or two for you to all of a sudden have to lean on the back end of your rotation. So picking up some of these steals, these upperclassmen who weren't, you know, flashy picks, who didn't leave early, who maybe don't have the widespread value, if you can pick up a steal, if you can find a gem in the Portsmouth Invitation, what can be the difference between having a strong back end of the rotation and being able to make a late push in the season to not being able to? Obviously, it doesn't have the value that the Portsmouth Invitational doesn't have the value that it had years ago because everything's based even more so on upside these days. So everyone's looking first at the one-and-dones, at the young guys who are going to provide the great upside, the value, the development. But it's still important.
In your opinion, was it wise or unwise for a Tyler Hawes to turn down an invitation to the Portsmouth Invitational?
You know what? I didn't put myself in his shoes, really. I don't know what his exact mindset was on that, but I think that he can do just fine in workouts. It's not gonna hurt him. Not gonna damage his stock. He can help himself in plenty of other areas. Plus his body of work there at BYU. So I don't think it's a huge deal.
What have you been hearing from scouts in regards to Tyler Hawes? How do they evaluate him?
Well, what I'm hearing a lot is that obviously his jump shot's great. His ability to find high percentage opportunities is great. And he's got a quick release on his shot. They love that. I mean, that's critical in today's league if you're able to find open space, find a crease, and get the shot off. It's awesome. He's got decent size for his position. And his mid-range shooting, it's not a huge emphasis in the NBA, but if you can find an open mid-range shot and knock it down at a high percentage, that's fine. And he hit 46% of his two-point jumpers this year. They're not sold on his ability to defend the above-average NBA guard, so that's something that he might have to prove in pre-draft workouts. And like I mentioned before, the ability to finish over defenders, create separation, because most of his offense comes from playing off of his teammates and not from creating his own shot. So
Daniel, when teams decide to bring a guy like Tyler in for workouts, are they doing it? Are they bringing him in individually, or are they bringing him in with a group of guys? Because in order to see if he can or if he has improved with defense or whatever the case is, you can't go against air.
Absolutely, yeah. I think something that gets we tend to overhype is like the YouTube video of a guy knocking down a gazillion shots in an open gym, or a guy making athletic plays in his own little personal workout. They'll bring him in for 3-on-3s or 5-on-5, see how he can play in space against other athletes, see how he can defend, see if he can get his shot off. They'll be looking at all that stuff.
Daniel O'Brien, NBA draft specialist for Bleacher Report, on with us here, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. Tyler Hawes, I think has some things that the NBA doesn't typically see, and that is that mid-range game. He's a team player, works off screens quite well. He's always high energy. He brings that type of mentality. Some people have criticized his defense. How do you think he projects as a shooting guard? Does he need to improve his dribbles as a shooting guard, or is he just going to be a off-the-bench, spot shooter or coming off screens, instant offense type of player?
To be honest, I think he's just going to be coming off screens. He's going to just try to get his opportunities, pace the floor for his teammates. I mean, he'll make the occasional, you know, pump fake, attack the closeout, hit the mid-range shot, and that'll be a nice bonus. But I think it'll be mostly a peripheral role off the bench.
What are your thoughts on his choice of agent? He went with Bill Duffy. I know there's not a ton of agents out there, but these guys kind of have a monopoly. There's four or five guys that just kill it. What are your thoughts on agent choice?
Well, I think an unconventional choice is fine because he's an unconventional type of prospect. I mean, he's 24 years old. He's born in Belgium. He's sort of attracted to those European teams. You know, things don't work out in the NBA. He could end up over in Europe. He could be a real high-quality player over in Europe. I think it's fine for him.
You mentioned that he was born in Belgium. He does speak another language. We heard yesterday that Coach Rose, from Coach Rose at BYU, that he already has multiple offers to play overseas. He wants to see how it plays out in the draft. Where do you think a guy like Tyler Hawes should go overseas? Just wherever the most money is, but is there a particular league or country where you could see him having the most success?
No, I could see him fitting in almost anywhere over in Europe. I don't know if he's able to hang with the athleticism in the ACB as far as being a star in Spain, but I think he could definitely be a quality player in the rotation in Spain, and I think anywhere else he could be a star. If you're talking about Belgium, if you're talking about Greece, Turkey, he could be one of the top players on his team as far as shot making and offensive production.
Let's transition to some of the players that are currently playing from BYU in the league. There's not many of them. Jimmer Fredette. What's the future of Jimmer Fredette right now? I know you follow the NBA. I know you're more of a draft specialist, but I'm pretty sure you were working when Jimmer came out. And to see his career kind of never progress has been disappointing for BYU fans. What can they expect in the future?
Well, I mean, you can expect good shooting. I think this year is an anomaly, extremely disappointing. I mean, he's not getting much of an opportunity. I haven't seen much of him this year because he hasn't played much. He's actually got a positive net rating with the Pelicans, so they're plus 5.2 points per 100 possessions when he's on the floor. But his defense has definitely been hit and miss. It's been spotty. It's passable, like when the whole team's in the right spot and the team is in a good flow together. But when he gets isolated, he's definitely a liability. He's not big enough or explosive enough to slow guys down. I think he can still hang around if he finds the right fit, but because his shooting and his ability to play off the pick and roll is pretty solid for a bench player. But he's definitely been a disappointment.
So I mean, with all the numbers that he's able to put up when he does get the opportunity, sometimes you do see some bright spots, and you obviously hear about just some of the things he needs to work on, like defense. I would just assume that he would get less and less opportunities. Why is he still hanging around?
Well, the NBA is the ultimate. Platform, and he's going to compete. He knows how to play the game. He knows how to play with NBA players. He's not an upper tier athlete, but he knows how to play with those kind of guys. I think if he got a little into more of a groove, more of a flow in the rotation, because he's not getting regular playing time. If he got regular playing time, maybe we would see a different outcome.
Two other guys that are overseas that have had some playing time in the NBA, one more than the other, Brandon Davies and Trent Plaisted. Do you see either one of these guys making their way back to the league?
Not really, to be honest with you. I did like Davies' ability to, his nice touch on his jump shot off the 12 to 15 feet. He's not a great athlete, but he had a good feel for scoring around the rim. The Sixers did some nice things with him offensively, but he did not fit into the defensive outlook. He's too slow to guard, the ultra-athletic power forwards you see in the game today.
Daniel, great insight. thank you for joining us. I think you disappointed some fans stating that both Kyle and or Karnowski should maybe stay because that puts a damper on their West Coast Conference title hopes. Thanks a lot, Daniel.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on the show.